You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right, all right. Good morning, church. How are you doing this morning? Everybody doing good? Happy All Saints Day, Saints of God. Good to be with you. Hey, let's welcome our church family who's joining us online. We love you guys. We're one church. In person and online, so good to be with you. I want to say a special welcome to all of our first-time guests. I know we have some first-time guests with us in person and online. My name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm so glad you chose to be with us today. Welcome, everybody. All right, just before we get into the message, I have a few announcements for you. First of all, for those of you joining us online, we're going to be receiving communion at the end of the message. So if you haven't already, you might want to get some crackers or some bread, some juice, some wine, so you can receive along with us. Go ahead and do that. I also want to say that next week, we're going to have a special time of prayer. No matter who gets elected president, we're going to pray for our next president. We're going to pray for our country. We're going to pray for the church. We're going to just pray that we would be in unity and that we would move forward in our mission. So I want you to come prepared to pray. Whether you're disappointed or relieved, we're going to pray, okay? We're going to sincerely pray for our next president and pray for our nation. So just prepare your heart. And let me just say to you, can I just remind you this week that whoever ends up in the White House, God is still on the throne. Everybody know that? Let me just remind you, God is still in control. I think we just need to be prepared. We know that we're living in, you know, historic times, and we're so divided right now as a nation. So I would say just prepare your heart. Would it surprise any of you if we actually don't know who the president is, like November 3rd? It may take a couple days. There may be some unrest. There may be some rioting in the streets no matter who wins. And so let's be prayed up. Let's not give in to fear. Let's be good witnesses. Be careful what you share on social media. And let's keep our eyes on Jesus. I just want to encourage you, spend this whole week being prayed up, and let's prepare our hearts. So hey, why don't we just take a moment to do that right now? Come on, let's just bow our heads and our hearts in prayer this morning, because I really believe I have a message to help get your heart ready for this week. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together this morning. God, we thank you that you're with us even during unprecedented times, God, times that seem so divisive right now. God, we thank you that in your sovereignty, you allow us to elect a president. And so we ask you to guide us. We ask you to lead our nation. Father, we ask you to help us to keep our eyes on you, that this week we wouldn't give in to fear or worry or divisiveness, but Lord, we would just trust in you, that we would just be prayed up and our focus would be on you. Lord, we open our hearts today to receive from you. Come on, somebody just make that personal today. Lord, I open my heart to you today to receive from your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, today we are continuing our Kingdom Citizens series. And let me just tell you what the rest of the series is going to be about, because some of you might have a little bit of election fatigue. And next week you're like, okay, Pastor, I've had enough. That's fine. Well, that's good, because next week we're really going to shift gears. And for the rest of the series, we're going to talk about your calling, your purpose, your identity, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we're going to touch on that subject today. So don't worry if you're having a little bit of election fatigue. Come back to church next week. Be here, because we're going to pivot and talk about who you are in Christ. So let me begin today by asking you guys a question. For those of you who didn't grow up in the New York City area, maybe in Westchester, do you remember the very first time, or maybe you did grow up here, but you just have a memory of this. Do you remember the very first time you experienced New York hospitality? You know what I mean? Like, I love New York. I love New York City. I love our area. I love Westchester. But we have just a little bit of a reputation around the country for having a bit of an edge. How many of you know that's true? New Yorkers are famous for that. I remember the first time I really experienced that a couple years ago. Actually, it was 2012. I was still living in Buffalo and pastoring at the time. I came down with my friend Daryl and a group of team members from Samaritan's Purse. We were doing recovery work after Hurricane Sandy. We were doing relief work. We were mucking out houses out on Long Island and spent the whole week here serving. And I had been to New York a few times, but I was still very new to the area. And so it was right around the holidays, and we decided to spend a day in the city. Let's go experience New York at Christmas time, right? So here we are, we're a bunch of tourists, and we went down into the subway, and here's tourist mistake number one. We went to the ticket booth to ask for information, okay? Do you guys remember, some of you have been around New York long enough, when they used to have the day pass that you could get for the subway? So we went down into the booth and we said, hey, we're here, you know, we're going to be spending the whole day on the subway. Is there a day pass we could get? And the lady was like, we don't have a day pass anymore. you know, perfect New York hospitality. And we're like, okay, that's cool. We're like, we were just wondering, like, what's the best ticket we should get? And she goes, did you hear me? I said, we don't have the day pass anymore. We're like, okay, that's cool. That's fine. Like, we just wanted to know what was the best thing to get. And then I kid you not, she calls this guy over. I have no idea what he was doing hanging outside the booth there. This mafia-looking, like, Joe Pesci character walks up. She's like, hey, Frank, tell these guys we don't have the day pass anymore. He's like, hey, if she told you we don't have the day pass. You guys got a problem or something? Hey, this is New York. I'm like, these people want to fight us right now. They just want to buy a subway ticket, and they're about to fight us. New York hospitality. Welcome to New York. You guys got a problem or something? So funny. Now, if you've lived here long enough, we've also had the opposite experience. You've had a refreshing encounter. You know, maybe you had a really nice customer service experience, or you went to a restaurant and you had a really just nice waiter or waitress, and you kind of had this sense like, you're not from here. Like, where are you from? And you ask them, where are you from? And it turns out they were from like the South or the Midwest. Like, bless your heart, you know? But you had a feeling like, I knew there was something different about you. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. As followers of Jesus Christ, like, there's supposed to be something different about us. Like, we're supposed to be different from the culture that's around us. As kingdom citizens, we're called to be different. Jesus said this about his followers. He said that although his followers are in this world, they're not to be of this world. In fact, we're going to look at that scripture in John chapter 15. Let me just set this up for you. Jesus, this is the night of the Last Supper. Like, Jesus is about to be crucified, and this is called Jesus' farewell discourse. He's preparing his disciples. He's giving them some final instructions because he is about to return to the Father. And so as he prepares them, here's what he says in John chapter 15, verse 19. He said, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Read this out loud with me. But I have chosen you out of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. In fact, the early Christians, the New Testament Christians, they really understood this because they used the term, the Greek term, ekklesia, to refer to their gatherings, to refer to their church gatherings. For those of you who are Spanish speakers, think of the word iglesia, which is Spanish for church, right? It actually comes from this word, this Greek word, ekklesia. And ekklesia was a Greek term that was used to refer to a gathering of citizens who were called out from their homes to some public place, to an assembly. Like, this had a political overtone to it. People who were gathered together and assembled. But these Christians understood that they had a different king and they belonged to a different kingdom. So to belong to the church, and if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, church isn't just something you go to, it's who you are. Literally, to belong to the church is to be a called out one. We're called out ones. Like today, we gather together. We're called out from the world. We gather together, and then we will be blessed to disperse and go back into the world. That's who the church is. We live in this world, but we're called out of this world. Jesus said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. But here's the problem. Here's the problem we face. Our culture and the world around us is constantly trying to squeeze us into the predictable boxes of this world. It's always trying to squeeze us to fit into the predictable categories of your ethnic category, the ethnic box, your socioeconomic status box, your educational level box, and we certainly feel the pressure to conform politically, to fit nice and neat into the boxes that our culture has created. And so our culture wants to know, what flavor of Christian are you? Come on, our culture wants to put us in the predictable thing so they can figure out who we are. What flavor of Christian are you? Are you a conservative Christian? Are you a liberal Christian? Are you a Republican, make America great again Christian? Are you a Democrat, social activist protesting in the streets Christian? Like, what are you? And you have to understand that our world is asking us that question because there's a sense of, then I can put you in a box. And I can just agree with you or disagree with you, or even worse, I can just ignore you because you're like everybody else. And we've got you figured out. You're just so ordinary. You're predictable, and there's really nothing special that you have to say to me. And that's what our culture largely does. That pressure is always there, squeezing us, pushing down on us. And sadly, there are Christians that give into this. There are churches that fall right along those lines, and everybody's the same way. And sadly, so many Christians, we let the culture influence us instead of us influencing the culture. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying you can't be registered with a political party or have one political party that speaks more to your values. But what I'm saying is Christians were never called just to fit in. We were never called to just be predictable like the world around us. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. The church is called to be a counter-cultural community of people who are radically committed to Jesus and to each other. Jesus says you're called to be in this world, but not of this world. You belong to God. You are set apart for his purposes, sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're salt, you're light, you're his hands, you're his feet, you're his body. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. You're called to be something different. I need you to participate this morning. Thank you. This is a difficult topic, and so everybody, you get to be a part of the sermon today. I'm going to need some amens and some clapping every now and then because this is a difficult subject. We're called to be in this world, but not of it. Anything but predictable. Let me just tell you, the early church really exemplified this. The early church wasn't like everybody else. The very first Christians defied the categories. They were anything but predictable. In fact, Dr. Timothy Keller, former pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in the city and a widely read author, he writes this. He says, the early church Christian social project was a unique kind of human community that defies categories. It had at least five elements. Note these elements. The first one, it was multiracial and multiethnic. It was highly committed to caring for the poor and marginalized. It was non-retaliatory, marked by a commitment to forgiveness. It was strongly and practically against abortion and infanticide. It was revolutionary regarding the ethics of sex. In other words, they held to the biblical conviction that sexuality is sacred, that it is to take place within the bounds of marriage between a man and a woman. And that was countercultural in the pagan culture they were living in Roman times, where everybody was doing anything that they wanted with anybody, kind of like the world we live in now. And so these were the five things that set them apart. What do you do with this list? What an amazing list, right? I mean, the first two elements seem so liberal, right? They were multiracial. They were committed to being multi-ethnic, Jew and Gentile. They were highly committed to caring for the poor and marginalized. Come on, all the progressive Christians are like, yeah, that's the church. I recognize that. But then look at the last two things in this list. They were strongly and practically against abortion and infanticide. They were revolutionary in regards to their sexual ethics. They were committed to like traditional marriage. Come on, all the conservative Christians like, I recognize that list. Yes, that's the church. That's who we're called to be. And then I don't think anybody's doing the middle one, like radically committed to like forgiveness and not being non-retaliatory. That one doesn't fit anywhere on the list. Who's doing that one? What do we do with this list, right? It's so fascinating to see that the early Christians defied the categories of their culture, and they by and large defy the categories that our culture tries to place on us as American Christians. And, you know, let me give you an example from my own life. A few months ago, some people had some questions about why I spoke out so strongly during the George Floyd protests. You know, Pastor Jeremy, you really took a strong stance, you know, for our black brothers and sisters. Like, why is that? Are you like a really progressive Christian? You know, are you really liberal? Like, what was that all about? And here's my answer. My answer is I did that because I'm pro-life. Wait, no, Pastor Jeremy, you didn't understand the question. Like, pro-life's a conservative thing. Like, you stood with our black brothers and sisters. Like, that's a progressive thing. My answer is because I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-black life. I'm pro-life in the womb. I'm pro-black life for the same reason I'm against abortion. I'm pro-life because all life is made in the image of God, because Jesus died for everybody. Everybody has purpose and worth and dignity. So I'm going to stand up for life. And that might mean that I confuse some people and defy their categories. And that's good. That's what it should look like. If we're doing this thing right, that's what it should look like. If we're really committed to Scripture, we're going to end up with some values that defy the typical categories. For example, I'm concerned for some young Christian progressives who are passionate about social justice, but they have no biblical convictions about Christian sexual ethics. I'm concerned about some Christian conservatives who care about life in the womb, but not black life, immigrant life, poor life, people in poverty. Like, we're called to care about life from the womb to the tomb. We're called to care about the whole thing. And so we got to stop picking and choosing categories according to our culture. The ethics and the values of Jesus and his kingdom are not the ethics and the values of our culture. And so let me give you this idea today, and I want you to put this in your notes. Here's what we're going for. Christians shouldn't fit neatly into our nation's political categories, into the boxes, because we're citizens of a different kingdom. Come on, we're not called to fit in. Jesus never called us just to fit right in and be predictable and be like everybody else and just blend in. You're salt. You're light. You're called out of this world. You're the ecclesia, the called out ones. You're in this world. We're not called to escape, but we're of a different kingdom. And so we shouldn't fit neatly into the boxes and categories because we're citizens of the kingdom of God. And the values of the kingdom of God are not the values of this country, and they certainly cannot be encapsulated by any political party. Newsflash, Jesus isn't red or blue. He's purple. He's the color of royalty because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we're going to defy the categories every now and then. As you develop biblical convictions, you're going to defy the categories. Tisha Harrison Warren, an Anglican priest and author, wrote this. I love this quote. She said, "A robustly Christian political theology requires that Christians become a different kind of people." Different kind of people altogether whose lives bear witness to Jesus in ways that the world finds astonishing, perplexing, and unrecognizable. I love this. Like, we're called to be a different kind of humanity, a different kind of people. And look at these three phrases. I love these three descriptive words. We're called to be astonishing, perplexing, and unrecognizable. When's the last time the world described the church that way? When's the last time you saw a New York Times article that said, you know, in the midst of these polarizing times, in this historically divisive election, there is one group of voters who defy all of the odds, and that would be Bible-believing Christians, because they're for traditional marriage, and they care about, you know, life in the womb, but they're also for the immigrant and the poor, and they're for having multi-ethnic churches, and they're the most compassionate, loving, generous, forgiving people we've ever seen. Like, they are astonishing, they're perplexing, they're unrecognizable. We can't figure out what category to put them in. We can't figure out what side they're on because they don't seem to fit into the sides. Wouldn't that be amazing? Come on, somebody. Wouldn't that be amazing if the Church of Jesus Christ was described that way? Now, let me make this personal for you. Let me make this personal for just a moment, okay? When's the last time that someone was surprised by your life and values? If you call yourself a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, let's make this personal, because we can have a pep rally in here today, but let's really do a little work today. When's the last time somebody found your witness, your example, your life, and your values surprising? When's the last time that you were praised or persecuted for being in this world but not of this world? As I was thinking about this question, I thought about something I shared with you guys a few months ago. I told you guys a story a few months ago about my neighbor was having a barbecue, a get-together in his backyard and playing some music, and somebody called the cops on him. He thought it was us, and he came over, and he was all angry, rang my doorbell, accused me of calling the cops on him, and then, you know, your pastor almost got in a fight. It's not good when your Christian pastor gets in a fight with his neighbors. That's not good. You don't want that. But anyway, he got up in my face and was accusing me of calling the cops on him, but this is what I remembered. One of the things he said is, and it was a Saturday night, he said, "Well, I know you get up early on Sunday morning and you do your thing," and that came back to me. See, he looked at me and he saw me differently, right? And I took a little bit of heat for that. It's like, you're not like everybody else in the neighborhood. You're up early on a Sunday morning loading your kids into your car. By the way, it's possible to get your family here to church. I do it every Sunday morning really early. Just saying. That's a sermon for another time. But anyway, here's what I'm saying. He's like, there's something different about you, right? You do your thing. And he knew, I've told him I was a pastor. You do your thing on a Sunday morning. And, you know, I didn't tell you guys the rest of the story, but I wrote him a note and I made peace with him. I said, "Hey, I'm really sorry for that unfortunate, you know, misunderstanding, but I want you to know no hard feelings on our end. And if you ever need anything, you want to borrow a cup of sugar, whatever, here's my number. Text me. We're here for you. We're committed to being good neighbors." And I never got a response from him. Are you surprised, right? Like, this is Westchester. This is New York. This is New York, right? You know what happens if you do that here, right? Like, you never speak to them ever again. You give them the stank eye. Like, you just never even look at each other after that. I'm like, we're not going to be like that. Like, we came here, God, you put us in this neighborhood to be a witness for you. And we're going to love this neighbor even if he's a pain in the butt. It says that in the scripture somewhere. Pray for your neighbor who's a pain in the butt. I'm telling you, it's got to be in the Bible somewhere. But see, he didn't even know what to do with that, right? Why? Because we didn't fit into his categories. We didn't fit into his categories. When's the last time you were persecuted or praised for being so different? When's the last time somebody said to you, "Why do you spend so much time at church? Why are you so religious?" When's the last somebody praised you and said, "Man, I don't understand how you're so patient, how you're so forgiving. Like, you just put up with that annoying coworker that none of us can stand, and you just have so much grace. Like, what is it? What kind of medication are you on? What are you taking? When's the last time you stood out to somebody?" Because that's who we're called to be. We're called to defy the categories. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're called out of this world. We belong to a different kingdom. Listen to how the Apostle Peter described our calling in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. He writes this, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." I love this. You're temporary residents and foreigners. You're not even from here. You're actually citizens of a different kingdom. Look at this, verse 12. "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." Isn't this beautiful? Like, man, there should be something so different about you that people just see something in you and it just glorifies God. Come on, our world doesn't need more Christians who fit perfectly into the predictable boxes. People around us need to encounter Christians who are so different that they have this sense like, you're not from here. There's something different about you because it's the Jesus they see in you, even if they don't know it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what people need. They need to see something different in you that they might not even have language for because you're otherworldly. You don't even fit into any category they've ever seen before. When they encounter you, there's a presence. There's something about you that's different, and it's Jesus Christ on the inside of you. That's what our world needs. Our world doesn't need more red and blue Christians. Our world needs Christians who are in this world but not of this world. And so Peter says, basically, the two most important things here are your relationship with God. Here's what he says. He says you have to actually guard your soul, right? Against the worldly desires that wage war against you. In other words, protect this, your relationship between you and God. And then he says, the second most important thing is your witness to God's work, to God's love, to your salvation. Be so honorable, right? Like, have such an example to your neighbors around you, your unbelieving neighbors, that even if they accuse you, over time, they see something different in you because you're so consistent. You're so consistent in your walk, in your speech, in your attitude, in the way you talk, in the way you treat people, that they see something different inside of you. And so let me give you two application points that you can put in your notes today. Since you're called to live in this world, but not of this world. Come on, since we're the ecclesia, we're the called out ones. We're the body of Christ. We're the people of God. Because we belong to God, because we're set apart to his purposes, marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit with his call on our lives. Because you're different, because you don't fit into the categories, let me give you two ideas of what you can do about it. Number one, put your biblical lens before your political lens. Come on, you got to get your biblical lens before your political lens. Here's what I want to say to you. I want to make it practical. Don't necessarily think just like a conservative or a progressive on every issue. Learn to think like a Christian on every issue. And as you do that, you'll begin to defy the categories. I promise you. Hey, come on. We have to get to the point where, like, our biblical convictions, the convictions of the Word, the convictions of the Holy Spirit, what the church has believed for 2,000 years, that those become the things that guide our lives and not the prevailing thinking of this world. Because I'll tell you one thing, if you let the culture get in and influence you, it won't just influence you politically, it'll influence you in every other area of your life. But a good thing to check right about now in this season we're living in is to make sure that your biblical lens is in front of your political lens. And can I just tell you, I'm not preaching at you this morning that I've gone through this process. I was raised with a certain cultural point of view. I was raised in a certain political upbringing. And over the years, as I've studied God's word, as I've read, as I've met other Christians who helped disciple and mentor me, as I've sit and listened compassionately to other Christians, I begin to realize, what a surprise. I didn't have everything figured out. What a surprise. My perspective didn't happen to be the only perspective. There were other Christians who had different political convictions than me because they had a different perspective in life than I had. And I learned that there were some areas where I had to get my biblical perspective in front of my political perspective. Is this helping anybody out? You may have voted already. It's all good. This is about a way of life. This is a way of life. Number two, let me give you some other advice. Because you're in this world, not of this world, number two, vote with your life every day. Come on, don't just vote with your ballot. Some of you already voted. You're early voters. You're really responsible. You're awesome. Proud of you. Don't just vote with your ballot. Vote with your life every day. Now, should you vote? Sure. We're blessed. We live in this democracy. We live in this wonderful country. It's not a perfect country. There's things that have to be worked on. We got ways to go. But thank God, we're blessed to live in a nation where we get to vote, where your voice can be heard, and you should do that. Some of you have already done that, and that's wonderful. Some of you, you're affiliated with a political party. That's fine. You have a one party that resonates with your values more than another. That's great, but don't just stop there. This isn't about just the only change we can make in this world is voting every few years. No, no, no. Vote with your life. Prove with your life that Jesus is King. Vote with your words, your actions, the way you treat people, the way you handle your money, your generosity, your compassion, your humility. Vote with your life. May your life be one big ballot that says, Jesus Christ is my King, and I belong to a different kingdom. Do it every day. Do it every day. I'm in this world. I'm not of this world. I'm called out of this world to represent God's purposes, his kingdom values here in this world. And so what would that look like? What would that look like? Let me give you some ideas. Instead of grasping for power, let's serve. Come on, let's be known as those who serve our way into influence. Instead of shouting at people on social media, let's listen with compassion. Instead of being known for what we're against, let's be known for what we're for. Come on, for so many years, the church was only known for what we're against. We're against this, we're against that. That's those bunch of Christians, they don't do this, they don't do that. Hey, let's be known for what we're for, not just what we're against. Come on, we're for reconciliation. We're for hope. We're for peace. We're for love. Come on, we're for compassion. Let's be known what we're for. Instead of being self-righteous and judging those who sin and think differently than you, by the way, that's what judging is. It's when you have thoughts about people who sin differently than you, because we all sin. Let's recognize that we're all sinners in need of the grace of God. Come on, let's get a fresh revelation of how much we need God's grace. Freely you have received, freely give. You can give it to others because you recognize your need for a Savior. Let's come back to that. Instead of fighting and scratching and clawing for control of this country, let's show that we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Let's be known for being the most loving, caring, generous people on planet Earth. I'll say it again. I think the Church of Jesus Christ should be known for being the most loving, caring, compassionate, giving, generous people on planet Earth. I believe that. And can I just brag on our church family for just a moment? Come on, as a proud spiritual father, as a pastor, can I just brag on our church for just a moment? Just this past week, Pastor Dave and Jen Miranda, who's one of our team members, helps host online and serves in our student ministry, and she's a teacher. They put together some care packages for some teachers at a local elementary school. And how many of you know that our teachers have a tough job right about now with this whole COVID thing? And so we just wanted to bless some teachers. We just want to let them know, hey, you're essential workers during this time. And we want you to know here at Redemption Community Church, we're rooting for you. We're praying for you. We love you. And so this past week, we got to go and present some gift bags with some Starbucks and some candy and just some notes of appreciation. And here's what I love about that. I know there are a lot of teachers at that school who are never going to step foot in our church. I know there are a lot of teachers at that school who aren't Bible-believing Christians, and maybe they'll never even ever come to a church like this, but here's the one thing they know about Redemption Community Church. That church cared about me. That church served me. That church wanted to bless me. That church was thinking about me. Isn't that an amazing church over there? Come on, not because it's about us, because that's what Christians should be known for being servants, for loving our community, for blessing others. That made me proud. Can I just brag for a moment? That made me proud because isn't that a wonderful thing for Christians to be known for that? Just past, actually yesterday, Saturday morning, on a cold Halloween morning. Come on, how many of you know you really love Jesus if you get up on a cold Saturday morning to go surf? We had about a dozen people who got up to go distribute meals with Caritas. We partner with a wonderful organization that helps provide meals for people in our community who are in need. And we got out and delivered meals to people, and I got to go deliver some. And I'll tell you, it just brightened my day. It just blessed me. And you know, I'm stepping back today, and I'm just thinking about, man, my heart is so full to know that this is the church being the church, getting out and being who God called us to be, being his people in this world, but not of this world, servants, the people of God. Like, that's who we're called to be. Let me just tell you this morning, church, Jesus came to create a new humanity, a new people, a different kind of people. We're called to live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're called to be radically committed to Jesus and radically committed to each other. We're called to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what it all boils down to. Loving God radically, loving people passionately. And so let me put it to you this way. Political candidates, they're going to win or lose this election based on how America votes. But the church will win or lose based on how followers of Jesus live. The church wins or loses based on how we live. And so in the midst of this divisive election season that we're all living through, let's be ambassadors of Jesus. Come on, let's represent him well. Let's show that we're of a different kingdom and we have a different king, that we're in this world, but we're not of this world, that we're called out of it, that we don't fit into all the categories that everybody else fits into. There's something different about us because we have a purpose in him that is not of this world. Come on, let's be people of love. Let's be people of understanding, of humility, of compassion. Let's be the most generous, caring, loving people on the planet. Can I get an amen, somebody? That's what we're called to do. Let's vote with our lives, church. Let's vote with our lives. And so let me leave you with two questions. Let me leave you with two questions for you to meditate on. And we're going to pray on them in just a minute, lest we just have this really feel-good moment. We don't want to just do that. We want the Holy Spirit to change us. And so here's the first question, okay? I want you to meditate on this as we pray in just a moment. Here's the first one. In what ways might I have allowed my political lens to get in front of my biblical lens? Come on, Lord, show me. In what ways, God, may I have allowed my cultural lens, my political lens, all these other lenses to get in front of my biblical lens? Lord, show me where I might have some room to see things differently. And that might not all happen in one day or one prayer. But if you begin to pray that prayer, I believe God will begin to show you. Here's the second thing. In what ways have I been predictable rather than standing out for my commitment to Jesus? And what ways have I just been predictable? And what ways have I just kind of been like the world around me? And what ways have I just kind of fit nice and neatly into the boxes that culture has tried to squeeze me into? And what ways have I kind of given into that pressure to be predictable rather than standing out for my commitment to Jesus? Come on, let's make that personal. I want you to invite you to stand with me. We're going to pray over those two questions. In just a moment, we're going to prepare to receive communion. But why don't you stand with me? And let's just pray. Let's pray into that. This is a moment to say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. God, show me what it is in me that you want to change, God. Come on, would you just pray with me online, in person? Everybody, just bow your head in your hearts before the Lord today. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you that you're with us today. God, thank you that you're king, that you're on the throne. You're sovereign. You're in charge. And God, we thank you today for reminding us of who we are, that we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're citizens of a different kingdom. And Lord, we ask you to show us where we've allowed anything to cloud our vision, to cloud our thinking. We've allowed any cultural influence to change the way we see things instead of seeing things from your point of view. Lord, today, we ask you to show us how we may have just blended in, how we've missed opportunities to love people around us, to be a witness to people around us, to be your hands, your feet, your body, your people in this world. Father, we recognize that all around us, God, there are friends, there are co-workers, there are neighbors, there are people that you've placed around us who desperately need what we have on the inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, make us your people all over again. God, make us your called out ones all over again. God, use us to advance your kingdom. Use us to advance your purposes. Use us to lift up the name of Jesus like never before. We say, Lord, do it in me. Come on, somebody make that personal. Jesus, do it in me today. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.